physical presence out there. I mean, he has a physical presence from a shot blocking standpoint, challenging shots, and just being strong in terms of going and getting the basketball. He plays with that nastiness you got to play with. And that's what I'm looking for. There's a word for it. I'm looking for those guys that don't get dirty and get nasty and get grimy. Cody is, of course, he fouled out in that particular game in the last 2 years. We've got to keep him on the floor as well. He has a nose for the basketball. So from that standpoint, the guys that are playing and guys that are sitting there, I think that can help us on the board. But I know Moses in particular is the guy that can come in and really help us on the board. From writing raps, put it together yourself. Got a picture connects, never asking for someone's help. Gotta get some respect, please only focus on what he wrote. His will is beyond reach, and now it all unfolds. The skill of an artist. This is 20% skill, 80% gear. Be 100% clear, cause Ryder was ill. Who would have thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? And I heard him wreck it with the crystal.
Alright, welcome back. It is hour two, 11:07. Justin Akery joined by Chris Sugarcane in the Fury Electric Studio. We appreciate you tuning in.
Back-to-back KTV day, by the way.
Yesterday was quite fun.
Yeah.
Had Sully in.
You and Scotty.
Sully is a vastly underrated radio guy. He could do it full-time if he wanted to.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He doesn't think he's as good as he is. He doesn't realize how good he is.
Hall of Famer.
No. Anyway, we'll stick up to Sully some more later on.
Sounds good.
We have the latest odds on the upcoming Super Bowl. I'm sure we'll talk a million times more about it over the next 10 days.
Looking forward to it.
Denver is a 3-point favorite currently. We'll talk about MVP odds coming up a little bit later. Jim Harris of Sporting Life Arkansas joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Jim.
How are you?
Oh, Jim,
That's a great question.
You know, I'm all over the place. I don't know. This basketball team's got me tearing my hair out. We're still waiting on a defensive coordinator to be hired. Thank God baseball season starts soon. So, how are you?
You ever seen the movie Trouble with the Curve?
No, but I'm aware of the movie existing.
It's on one of the, one of the movie channel things you get extra on. I don't know who's sponsoring y'all now. DirecTV or.
No. Suddenly.
Oh, yeah. Suddenly, my man.
DirecTV,
Suddenly.
They can't even hang on to the Weather Channel.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Come on.
Who are they?
You're just going to be disappointed if you go that route, fella.
No, I'm just saying it was on one of the movie channels. I mean, you know, really get your baseball fever going, and Amy Adams is the female lead. That gets your fever going, too.
So, isn't Clint Eastwood in that?
Yeah, that's that may be the last movie he was going to act in.
Yeah,
I think. Isn't that right? Didn't he retire after that? And he's perfect for it because, I mean, he plays, you know, typical old, you know, going blind Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
I mean,
he played himself.
Cool.
Jim, spoiler alert. Hello. Clint's last movie. I mean, geez. Come on.
No, I don't know. I mean, I thought he said it was going to be his last minute.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. We should have given a spoiler alert.
It came out a couple of years ago anyway. So
I'll tell you what I watched.
Justin Timberlake's in it. Spoiler alert. He didn't die or anything.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I watched Million Dollar Baby the other day.
And made you think of the Pigskin?
Yeah, Pigskin screwed me over on that movie. We're sitting there. It was the Sunday after the movie had come out. And he's like, yeah, and then, you know, and then she dies at the end. I'm like, really? 48 hours? I mean, bro, I mean, I think we need more of a window
what
than
movie?
That. You're starting dumping the ending on me. I mean, come on.
What movie?
Million Dollar Baby. Hillary Swank, Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah, where she dies.
She gets cheap-shotted, yeah.
That was messed up. I mean, when it happened, I didn't know, and it shocked me.
Oh,
I was
I'm
like,
telling you, there are
what?
There are very few characters in this world more unlikable than her mother in that movie. Ugh. I am anti.
Hit the chair.
I'm anti-violence in general. I am certainly anti-violence against women, but man, that lady was asking for it. Anyway,
well, I'm speaking of the movie channels. Now I know we'll move to sports, but I'm just counting the days till Game of Thrones is back. Speaking of unlikable characters, I mean that's got your. I mean, you have a choice in Game of Thrones. Unlikable characters.
Joffrey Baratheon.
If Joffrey does not get murdered soon, I'm going to be upset.
I know. If he doesn't get pulled you know, pulled apart limb by limb.
Yes, I need a drawing and quartering for
Your
Joffrey.
Grace. Your Grace.
You know what I really want? I want his forced wife to stab him in his sleep. That's what I really want. Actually, I want her to wake him up and give him the...
He's got
to
feel it.
The throat slit. Anyway, let's move on to basketball.
April 6th, I think, is,
right
by
now,
the way, the date that
I think
out.
I'd rather have my throat slit than watching the Razorback Road game. But you know what?
Unlikable characters.
Rather hang out with Joffrey.
Yeah, unlikable characters. The Razorback's on the road. And one of the most likable characters in the world is the Arkansas at home. It's so frustrating. But, Jim, I am an idiot, and I keep banging my head against the wall and expecting a different outcome. Isn't that the definition of insanity? And you know what?
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Wednesday night, my friend, don't worry. I'm gonna. It's the start of our bowling league Wednesday night, and at 7 o'clock, while I'm throwing the ball in the gutter, I'll be watching Arkansas throw its season in the gutter against Tennessee. I'll be intently focused on the television over at Professor Bowl as Arkansas blows it again. But I can't help myself. I cannot help myself. I'm like an addict.
It's an addiction.
It is.
It's a bad addiction.
It is. It's like Russell, and nothing I broke my Russell about, addiction. But
nothing about Tennessee and its strength tells you that it's going to be a good night for Arkansas, considering how well they rebound. But, I mean, how did Texas A&M go in there and beat Tennessee? That's kind of got to be a bit of a quandary, and it's got to think that I mean, you know, if Arkansas could have one of those nights on the road that they actually see the basket and it looks like the one they're shooting at home, and it's 10 feet tall and all that kind of stuff that Gene Hackman said in the Hoosiers, you know, if they could ever come out and just shoot the basketball like they're capable of doing once every four games, they could win on the road. You know, there were one basket, 1 point even, from what, the last two or three days being, oh, we finally won on the road. I mean, you know, it's such a thin line here.
Yeah.
And I don't expect Arkansas to go on the road and blow anybody out anyway. But
right.
I think on the road you take your, you know, 3 or your 4 point win. And you execute the play as designed out of the timeout.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as I've said 28 times.
Yeah.
In the last 24 hours, the play was not dribble, 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 shoot a three. I'm sure that was not the play they drew up.
Well,
in the
it wasn't
Can't
even
be.
A good three. He landed on his left foot. I mean, he was kind of almost like a fall-away three.
I don't care if you're Pat Bradley. I don't care if you're Ray Allen. I don't want a three in that situation. I don't care how good you're shooting a three. I don't care how good you feel. It's not a good shot ever.
You're tied.
Yes.
You're tied.
You only need a point.
Yeah, you don't need a three.
No.
You needed 1 point. All you had to do was, you know, penetrate, you know, get it inside, get it to somebody else, maybe, who could hit that free throw. I don't know who that is.
I don't either, but I will say this. That's a good point. I will say this. I thought Kentucky was a much worse matchup for Arkansas than Florida.
Yeah,
and they
beat
Kentucky, and they lose to Florida. And I feel the same way about these two road games. I think this is a much harder matchup for Arkansas than the Georgia game was. So, of course, they'll go to Tennessee and win. That's my that's what I'm basing my logic on now. It's kind of nonsense.
Well, I thought Florida – I mean, we discussed this last week, and I'll toot my horn and say that I picked Arkansas to beat Kentucky.
You sure did.
By two.
I thought it was, you know – I mean, here we're only talking about one basket could have gone either way with the Florida game, too. But I thought Florida was a better team. I don't know if they've got – I know they don't have as good a talent as Kentucky. But I just thought that as a team and how they're together with Scotty Wilbekin leading them and all that, I thought they were a better team and they survived a lot of, you know – a lot of punches to the chin by Arkansas a couple of times and then pulled it out. Kentucky's not quite there yet. This is not – it is so funny to see a team. Here are 7 McDonald's All-Americans, I guess 6 that they signed this year. But these aren't – I mean, you know, there's different levels of McDonald's All-Americans.
Well, no, there's – look.
Because there's no Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
No.
There's no Anthony Davis.
That's my point.
Even close to that team.
Here's the way I described it the other day. There's two kinds. Now all Kentucky can do is basically compare itself to itself because nobody else does what they do, which is churn out McDonald's guys and then send them to the NBA. But there's two kinds of teams. There's the Wall Cousins teams, And then there's the teams like Anthony Davis's team. And this team does not have the look of, we're going to go deep and win the NCAA tournament.
No, it doesn't. This team looks like that one that had the I'm trying to remember the kid's name. They have so many.
Cousins and Wall had lots of talent, but they never looked like they were going to get over the hump, and they didn't.
The team right between them. What was the guard's name? It was a one and done. That was, you know, that team got beat in Fayetteville, and that team lost five games on the road at least in the SEC. It was kind of like, God, you got all those All-Americans, you can't win on the road.
I don't know. Did Cal tell them he couldn't coach them?
It wasn't as bad as what he told last year's team.
Okay,
no.
All right.
But they had some talent, and then a couple of guys held over, you know, and were big keys to the Anthony Davis team. Of course, the key was Anthony Davis, really, in the middle, and Kid Gilchrist. But a couple of those guys stayed over another year and were a big factor. This year they had Willie Cauley-Stein, I guess, the only real key holdover, you know, from last year. And then these six guys. And I think the Harrison twins are, I mean, they're good players, but are they first-round draft choices to you? I mean, do they really look that good?
I've only seen them play twice, so I can't really judge. But, I mean, not from what I've seen, no.
You know, and I think, the big man, Julius, is
I do love Randall.
Randall's
a beast.
First-round draft choice, without a doubt.
What year is he?
He's a freshman.
Is he one of the freshmen? Okay, he's a beast. He's an animal. I don't know. That dude's...
Then Cauley-Stein was a guy that, actually, Cal did call him out after the game last week, I think. I mean, didn't he just say he was a big fat zero or he didn't do anything? And not big fat zero, but he...
Big skinny zero.
He didn't do anything. It was kind of like when... It's kind of like when Abe Lemons would call a guy out and say, you scored one more point than a dead man.
Well, Randall, he shouldn't have any complaints about it. He leads the league in rebounding just ahead of...
Oh, he's terrific.
He's just ahead of, unfortunately, Jarnell Stokes. And then he's 10th in the league in scoring. Yeah, he's been outstanding. That guy's... Yeah, he looks like a for-sure lottery guy.
The Harrison twins are averaging 14 points and 11 points. Aaron is averaging 14. Andrew is 11 points per game.
I like Young better. I think he's a heck of a shooter. He's the guy that hit the shot that tied it in overtime, and I think he's got a lot of ability. But I just don't see a Kid Gilchrist or an Anthony Davis in that group.
Okay, I want to go back to last week. Here's the clip. Jim, appreciate the time. 11:32. We got to take a timeout, but big news in Fayetteville. Chris
Ash. Yeah, thanks
Ash,
for having me, Justin.
You bet.
We'll visit again. Okay.
Oh, bye-bye. Real quick.
Yeah.
Hogs win or lose tonight?
They're going to win by two.
There you go. So let's go to prediction time. How does Arkansas fare tomorrow night at Tennessee, Jim?
They're going to lose by nine.
No, Jim. That's not what we were hoping you would say, Jim.
Okay. How many SEC teams get in the NCAA tournament?
Four.
Okay. That's exactly the number of teams that have 500 or better records in the SEC right now. Four of 14 teams are 500 or better in true road games this year. So I think that probably is a pretty good number right now. Are you surprised by Arkansas being 38th in the RPI?
No, not really, because the Kentucky and Florida games brought them back up. I mean, you know, they had a really good RPI right after Maui. So, no, I'm not. And I think the SEC's... I mean, probably deserving of a little more notice than a lot of people give it. You know, even a lot of people in Arkansas say it's a terrible league, this, that, and the other. But I think it's better this year. And then also to maybe put the Georgia game in better perspective, look, those guys were good enough to go on the road and win at Missouri.
Yeah, they suck.
I mean, yeah.
No, they're not good.
You don't
that's a bad team. A&M's a bad team. There's a lot of bad teams in this league. You know what I pointed out earlier, though, Jim?
There's a lot of bad basketball out there, Justin. And I'll tell you, there's not a lot of mid-major strength like there was. Look at Butler, man. 1 year into the Big East, and they're at the bottom.
Well, I know San Diego State or whatever has built a program, but they're a top-10 team. Wichita State's a top-10 team.
Really well.
I know, but it's,
both
you know.
Both of those teams have really good shooting teams. That's the key. There's never – any substitute in basketball for shooting. I don't see why Arkansas hasn't gotten that it's their best teams. Let me just say this story once before, if nobody's ever heard this again. I know I've told you this before, but in 1995, Arkansas would be on its way. This is before it happened, but Arkansas is defending national champion, and they would go on and finish second, and they shot the ball incredibly well. But let's face it, Dwight Stewart did not look like your athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Scotty wasn't really terrifically athletic. I mean, he didn't play defense that well. He put on a little weight. But there was some question as to whether Arkansas and the SEC was getting out athletic a few times, like against Alabama and teams like that. And I was there when Mike Anderson told another guy, he said, who he was recruiting, he said, if you think we're good now, you ought to see us next year because we're going to be so much more athletic. Okay? Well, and I'm going, God, I mean, you got the defending national champions, but you're going to be more athletic and better. That'd be something. Well, they sacrificed athleticism and, you know, I mean, great shooting for athleticism,
right,
and okay shooting.
The game is still pretty. Yeah, the game is still pretty simple. If you knock down shots, you're gonna have a good chance to win. Arkansas
shoot the basketball.
Couldn't hit the broad sign of Bud Walton the other day. That was the problem. I will say this:
well,
they
haven't since then, except for the occasional Pat Bradley and a few guys like that. Joe Johnson, fantastic shooter, terrific basketball player.
Yep.
But there haven't been a lot of guys on the team like there were from 90 to 95 who were really great shooters from the field.
No argument. I mean, the best shooter in the league is a guy who's got a history of drug abuse. He's got behavior disorder, I mean, behavioral problems, and he's a volume shooter. But he also is a game changer and a difference maker. And he's on one of the teams, one of the four in the league, that has a winning record on the road. Well, one of the two that have a winning record on the road, or three, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, you know, at this point, though, I'm pretty sure anybody in Arkansas would be happy to have a guy like Marshall Henderson. So, anyway, it's frustrating, but it is what it is. Okay, I don't even want to talk about this anymore. It's driving me crazy, so let's move on. Jim already said they're going to lose by 9, so there's no point in delving into it. And if they lose by 9, this season's over. So, let's hope that doesn't happen. Who do you like in the Super Bowl? I'll ask you again next week. You can change your opinion.
Well, right now, I still like what Peyton Manning could probably do. I like what Denver could probably accomplish against Seattle. I think Seattle's really good. That defense is great. I would go with the three, I think, or give the three.
You would?
Yeah, I think I would right now.
I actually like Seattle to win outright.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't even tell you why. I was a little surprised, despite the fact that they did win handily and it was a comfortable victory. As many yards as Denver put up, they did not score that many points.
No, the score wasn't really indicative of how dominant they were.
Agreed, but they didn't score much. Well, they scored 26?
Yes.
They didn't score very much considering they had 500 yards of offense.
How many field goals did they kick? 4?
I don't know. A few, I guess.
I mean,
obviously,
you know, they were in the red zone, and then they sort of – that's the one thing. John Fox is a very conservative guy, especially when he gets down in those areas and he's willing to take field goals over touchdowns. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's going to burn him in the Super Bowl, but we'll see. I mean, Seattle's not exactly lighting it up offensively either, but I will say this. I do love Lynch. There's only two guys that run like that in the league. I mean, you got Peterson and Lynch. There's nobody else in the league that runs like that.
They run with reckless abandon.
They run like if they don't get the next yard, they're going to die.
Yeah.
There's only two guys that run like that.
No matter how many people are piling on top of them, they're still driving their legs.
He's amazing. I love Lynch. Jimmy, got a question here about Mike Anderson from Wallace, and then we're going to take a timeout.
Okay.
Wallace?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, my friend.
I don't really have a question. I just want to say that I'm one of those diehard Razorback fans. I've been following them for over 20 years, and I have to be the first one who admits apathy has set in for me. Mike Anderson, as well like as he is, even by myself, isn't doing a good job of coaching. First of all, I'm a firm believer in close games are lost by the coach. Players don't lose close games. Players play, but the coaches lose close games. if you have a team that's able to compete with the likes of Florida and Kentucky at home, you're supposed to be able to beat Texas A&M and Georgia on the road. I don't care if you don't spend a second in Bud Watson Arena the week of a road game. Go have them practice in Rogers High School gym that whole week. Bring a bunch of students in to yell and, you know, create disruption. There's no way. I just can't see how people are steady saying it's on the players. If your players are good enough to win at home, they should win on the road.
Then why isn't the coaching good enough at home? And is the coaching different on the road?
No, it can't be different, but you have to have your team mentally prepared to win on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I figured the coaching comes in there. And Mike Anderson, he's a good guy, but I just don't see him leading us into the – if you can't win a road game, how do you expect to compete in the SEC tournament? It's no home games in the SEC tournament. It's
no, but they're
– in the tournament.
At least they're neutral. Arkansas is not a bad neutral team. They're just terrible on the road.
No.
Well,
we're a 1-2 team.
Well, that's one more win than they got on the road.
I just can't see how you expect to even make it in the tournament if you can't win a road game 3 years in a row. It's just impossible to me. And some of the things I see happening on the court, as far as subs, and I mean, we, sure enough, the road exposes our weaknesses as far as not having a player who can create on his own off the dribble.
Mm-hmm.
The only person that I see on that team who looks halfway like he can do that is Landis Harris, and he's not a guard. You need somebody to be able to penetrate and create their own shot. We don't have that, but still, if you can win these games at home, I just have to blame it on Mike Anderson. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I love the guy just like all you guys, but I'm like Roger. I don't see it. We need another coach.
All right. Sorry. Thanks.
His subbing was atrocious in several games lately. His subbing up 41-34 the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pull Fred Gulley out of the ball game until he misses a couple of shots.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was on fire.
I like the way he's playing. I'm with you.
All five of those guys got pulled out when they're about to pull away.
Yeah.
And then they went 2 of their next 16 because of the substitution. It changed the whole flow, I thought.
Yeah.
That game was winnable, not at the end as much as it was in that middle stretch where they could have won it by 15.
I'm not one to point at coaches and say your technique is not working, your coaching is not good, but that is suspect for sure. I mean, it was like I go back to the Florida game and Portis is on the bench at the end of the game and I'm trying to figure out why. But anyway, hopefully it turns around. I mean, I do need people who don't like Mike Anderson to call in and have the guts to call in and say he's a bad coach after they win a game, though. Because you know what's funny is I didn't get one call about how Mike Anderson sucks after the Kentucky game. So
even after a freak last play like that.
If you think he's an inconsistent coach, be a consistent fan and be a consistent critic. And I want to hear from you if Arkansas wins at Tennessee this week. Although I don't anticipate hearing from anyone on Wednesday or Thursday. Jim, I appreciate it. I'll anticipate hearing from you next Tuesday. Hopefully we're talking about a couple of Arkansas wins, but we'll see.
And a new defensive coordinator.
Yes, hopefully that's settled by then as well.
I'm surprised maybe you don't have breaking news here as we wrap it up.
Do you think Shannon's going to be the guy, or you think somebody outside the program?
Somebody else is coming in, but I think that Shannon is going to get a title after January 31st that will be well-deserved.
Assistant head coach?
Good possibility.
Okay, breaking news from Jim Harris, ladies and gentlemen. Jim, I appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll visit with you next Tuesday.
All right, we'll see you.
Thanks. Bye. Charles, hang on. We'll get you out of the break.